Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that. The afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
Afternoons on the Score.
Caleb is looking for just about anybody. This is where he really is devastating when he starts becoming a maestro. Look out. There it is. Touchdown. There's only one number 13. Look at him go.
You just humble yourself coming in the building. I feel like it's one of those things where it's like you can't bring that Hollywood stuff into the building, especially now with guys who play this game. We're going to see through it.
This is Heavyweight's the Crown. There's a lot of things that the rank and file football fan may be annoyed about with Caleb Williams. What do you expect this guy to be? Lives in L.A., plays for SC, is a star quarterback.
$10 million last year.
Come on! He should be confident and cocky.
What you did in college, the Hollywood, it's like, nah, that you got to prove yourself.
Would a nail say number one pick?
Probably.
Maybe.
I tell him, because I don't talk behind his back. I don't like the colored nails.
That's cool.
Really intelligent guy. Easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him on top of being successful. You know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does.
The suit is going to be navy blue. It's very classy. It's very, I'm going to a business meeting, but it's also like, it's me. I'm number one.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
They're Hollywood as hell, but they're still very good.
What was this, Hollywood as hell?
Yes, they are Hollywood, but they're very good at the same time.
Hey, we've tried everything else. I'm ready for Hollywood as hell. Swaggy, confident, bordering on cocky. Caleb Williams coming to Chicago. Matt Miller is here, and we love him. Longtime Score contributor. Now the bigwig over at ESPN. He'll be dominating Day 3 of the NFL draft tomorrow. So we will get to 75, we will get to 122, but we want to cover a lot of stuff with you here. Let's start with Caleb Williams. Are the Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes comps fair?
Yeah, stylistically, they absolutely are. I don't think personality-wise he's anything like Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's anything like Russell Wilson, but you hear those as like player comps of, you know, some those guys when they were younger, you know, of the ability to move and create and to have that dynamic arm angle with elite arm talent. I think it's been really overblown how much he does play off schedule, because those are the highlights, the plays, you know, of running to the sideline, making the crazy throw. Those are the things you see on SportsCenter. But that's not who he is 80% of the time. He is playing in the pocket on schedule. Can't overstate the fact that USC had a terrible offensive line. They're not going to hear any of those names called this weekend. They had a terrible defense, one of the worst in college football. And a lot of times he was asked to, you know, early Jordan stuff. Just, hey, we're only going to win if you make this play, you know, or some of the stuff we saw from Mahomes in 2022 of we're only winning if you save us. That was Caleb Williams in 2023. So, but I do think stylistically, yeah, Pat, Aaron Rodgers, some early Russell Wilson, you know, before he lost some of the speed and agility that he has. So it's truly special. I mean, I've not been shy about saying this. One of the better prospects I've seen in my 13 years of covering the draft. I would put him ahead of Joe Burrow. I would put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. And between he and Andrew Luck, like, it's a conversation. And I think I would take Caleb just because he's more dynamic with his athleticism.
Boy, it's exciting stuff. And the dynamism with the athleticism and outside the pocket, we saw some of that with Justin Fields these last 3 years in Chicago. But Caleb, even at that stuff, seems to be different. So before we get to on schedule, tell us why his off schedule is better than what Bears fans have seen.
Because he moves to throw. It's not he's moving to move or he's moving. And I like Justin Fields a lot. So I'll preface that. What I'm about to say. Justin never learned how to move to progress his reads. It was always one read's not there. Oh, no, I got to move. And then I'm going to just use my elite athletic ability to save this play. And, you know, we certainly saw that from Justin, especially in 2022, you know, when he had, you know, kind of a breakout season, I guess you would call it. I think with Caleb, the difference is that ability to always keep his eyes down the field. He's never panicked in the pocket, and he is. He's using his feet to set up the throw, and that's where it's like Mahomes. We see Pat do things where he's like, fade, 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 and you're screaming at the TV, like, you're running the wrong way, and then he throws and makes the big play. So I think that's what Caleb does with his feet. So you're going to hear, like, you know, this guy had 27 rushing touchdowns in college. If you've never watched him play, you're going to think, oh, no, here's another running quarterback. No, he's a throwing quarterback who can run. There's a difference.
So we'll see some climbing of the pocket. We'll see some moving in the pocket.
You're
going to,
see more like bailing the pocket to create passing lanes. But it works with him because he has that shortstop-like ability to create arm angles. And his arm talent is so big that, you know, he's one of the few guys where you're going to say, hey, like, you can throw off your back foot. It's fine.
And when he is on schedule, when he is in that pocket, does he anticipate guys coming open and throw to them before they are?
Absolutely. And he doesn't turn the ball over. I know people, they're going to talk about the fumbles. That is probably the only issue in his game. But it wasn't like Daniel Jones-level fumbling. It's, hey, you're holding the ball too long. You're being a little careless. Let's just be a little more careful. Let's
it's big game hunting, right?
Absolutely.
To what you were pointing earlier, he's trying to make crazy big plays.
Absolutely.
He often did. He sometimes didn't.
So, no, but when he plays on schedule, it's clean. It's pretty. It's anticipatory. Now, Lincoln Riley's offense doesn't have a lot of that. You know, it's not a complex offense. We've seen that with every quarterback he's developed. There has been that learning curve to a degree. So if you're thinking, like, what could the early struggles be, it is just going to be that – 1, 2, 3, getting through the progressions. But I've never watched him and thought, oh, man, this guy can't get to his third read. You did see that with Justin Fields at Ohio State.
All right. Roma Dunze, what's the NFL comp that you like?
Ja'Marr Chase. So I do a
what?
I do a comp show for ESPN of, like, I'll do 50.
Not Neighbors, Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze,
oh,
Ja'Marr
yeah.
Chase.
Okay.
Physical and not, like, he's not 6'5", but he plays so big, 6'3", 215, but you can't beat him when he posts you up. You can't
right.
do it. If you watch him in 2022 when he was a little healthier, you see the speed, you see the burst. They're using him on jet sweeps. They're using him on shallow crossers, and he's just running past guys.
He had that 83-yard punt return.
Right.
Yeah.
This year, you know, he's got the punctured lung, probably the best story, and I'm sure you're – listeners have heard it a million times.
I told it last night.
Punctures his lung in Arizona, and it's like, oh, well, I can't fly. Let's get in the car and drive home to Seattle so I don't miss anything. And then you beat Oregon 10 days later. The guy's a warrior. And you saw that in 2023 of the, like, I'm just going to be a bully. I will 50-50 balls. I said this on TV. 50-50 balls with him are 90-10. You are not going to beat him for the ball because there's a hunger for the ball. There's no attitude to his game at all. So, like, you guys are going to get a chance to get to know Keenan Allen, and you're going to think, is that Roma Dunze's older brother? Because there's, like, no ego there. It's, I want to be a great wide receiver. I want to run the best routes you've ever seen. I want to help my team win. Like, that's who Rome is as a player and a person.
Just because a wide receiver is big doesn't mean they have the ability to go up and get it. We've had Chase Claypool in this town. We had N'Keal Harry in this town. Big bodies who are supposed to be guys. He seems to have what I like to call guagi, where you go up and get it. It's a mix of the catch radius and the jumping ability and high-pointing the ball. He has everything you need to do that skill.
He's like a small forward, you know, where it's like you have the agility to make people miss and to create separation on your own. But when you do face a corner that has the speed to stick with you, you have the body to create your separation that way. I think that's something that gets lost when people watch the NFL. They're like, you have to separate with speed. That's not true. You just have to be able to separate. You can do it with your body. You could do it with your vertical ability. You could do it with good route running.
Like,
remember
feet.
Michael Thomas coming out of Ohio State. People were like, oh, he ran a 4.6. He can't separate. BS. Got 119 passes. You know, like he can separate. He just does it. It doesn't always look like Tyreek Hill. And I think that's where the thing with Rome is. Okay, well, he's not as fast as neighbors, but the way he separates, I think it translates better. Rome was my number three overall player in the draft. He was my number two receiver, and I like him more than I like neighbors, even if you just look at the film. So not the off-field stuff, just the film. Rome is, I think, a better receiver than neighbors.
The reason I bristled a little bit is because, like, what I thought about Chase, what's so incredible about him is that he can take the 6-yard slant and go 60 yards with, like, the breakaway speed. And neighbors has some of that on film. So I thought more of the, like, the crazy footwork, like the Davante Adams, the Drake London type
of thing.
But his
build is, you know, and like Jamar is a stocky guy.
Yeah.
And so to me, like, I look at that build and, you know, like 6'3", 215 is a dude. Like,
yeah,
he's rocked up. That is a man that you're trying to tackle out there. And there,
okay.
You know, there aren't many, a lot of our receivers now are like 6'2", 200 pounds, you know, and so he's a different type of body.
By the way, Matt, I've been trying to make Guagi happen as a scouting
attribute.
I'm going
to work on that. Yeah. I'm going to get that in.
Like 7 or 8 years.
Guagi,
go up and get it.
I'm going to say that tomorrow on TV.
Oh, my God.
Will you?
I'm going to,
dude.
Please remind me.
For what receiver?
I have an official definition of it.
Javon Baker from UCF.
He's got
because he actually does it. He has Guagi. I got to remember this.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. What's
Matt, it's been a dream for a long time.
Javon Baker, Central Florida.
And he'll be a day three pick?
I hope so because he's the one that automatically came to mind. If he goes tonight, I'm going to be pissed now. No, I'll be happy for him, but I will find someone.
To say Guagi, on ESPN.
I've been trying to make Fetch happen
this
for like 8 years.
There's some tight ends who have Guagi.
Yes.
See, I'm starting to work it into the lexicon.
Yes. Oh, my God. All right, I will text you. What time do you go on the air?
Noon.
Noon Eastern?
Yep.
All right, I'm texting. I'm setting an alarm just to text you tomorrow at 11:55.
This is going to happen. And I need Chicagoland to lose it when I
well,
do
oh,
that.
Oh, so. Don't worry.
This
we got
is why
you.
I've been into Keon Coleman. It's why I've been into Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah.
You know? But
those
Adonai
are good
Mitchell,
examples of it.
Adonai Mitchell seems to be a guy that nobody wants to coach. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, he's a type 1 diabetic, and I think the reports are – let's go there. The reports are that when he isn't on top of his disease, you know, he becomes a little bit – difficult to deal with. I think that, you know, my dad's a diabetic. I you know, you understand it. It's something that, yeah, you have to be on top of, right? It's not, we're not making light of a disease the guy has. He needs to manage it better. He's 21 years old. I think he's going to learn how to do that. And he's going to be a fantastic pro.
All right. Let's, I mean, God, there's so many stories from yesterday that are compelling with you. What did you make of what the Falcons did?
I absolutely hate it.
Okay,
and
cool.
We live
Me
in
too.
A day and age where people who have my job, like, and I appreciate this, we talk about the player, and we want to celebrate that player's moment of realizing their dream, and they've made it to the NFL, and let's talk about all the good things they do. Yeah, Michael Penix is great. I think he's the prettiest thrower in this class. He's a great young man. The Falcons made a bad pick, and that has nothing to do with Michael Penix Jr. at all. They gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed, $120 million over 4 years. He's 36 years old. He's coming off an Achilles, and they paid him that much money. And then instead of drafting a defender to maybe help him get off the field every now and then, or hell, even if you've got another wide receiver,
sure.
I probably could have justified that of, hey, we're going to have like the most explosive offense in the South. They drafted his backup, who turns 24 tomorrow, he's under contract for 5 years. He'll be 29 years old when his contract ends. So he and Kirk Cousins are going to hit their contract years at the exact same time. What is your plan there? It's like in your best case scenario, the player you spent the number 8 pick on in the NFL draft doesn't play for you for 4 years.
It's insane.
At which time his contract expires, you don't know if he's any good or not.
The one report I thought might give it a little bit of an explanation was the tampering thing on Cousins. Like, is this contract going to go under based on some tampering investigation? Yeah. But apparently that's not even possible.
Here's the thing. So, like, even if that were the case, the Falcons are still dumb for tampering. Like, everyone tampers. There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. So even if it's the Falcons, or let's say they lose next year's first-round pick for tampering, and they're like, oh, man, we got to get a quarterback of the future while we can. You still messed up with your asset management. And, like, you could have traded back. I mean, you didn't have to worry about the Bears taking him at 9. You didn't have to worry about the Jets at 10. I think the Vikings were going to take McCarthy over Penix regardless.
Peyton is telling everybody it was Bo Nix no matter what.
Right.
You buy that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Did you like – because I always say that in the media, those of us that don't follow it as closely as you do, and fans especially, they will listen to all of your guys' mock drafts, and they'll say, okay, J.J. McCarthy was supposed to go 4th, and Dallas Turner was supposed to go 8th, and they got them at 10 and 17.
Yeah.
So therefore, great draft. Or if the mock drafts have a guy going 20th and they draft him at 15, it's like a reach. It's like,
right.
Or the GM was right and the media was slightly wrong. You know, so, but do you believe that the Vikings had a home run draft? Because according to the mock draft value, they absolutely did.
So I do think they had a home run draft just because I think they got two good players. And there were two
positions
of need. Yeah. Years ago, I gave the Browns draft a really bad grade. And Browns fans came at me and they're like, well, we got like 6-year top 100 players. I'm like, that's cool. We're not building an all-star team. Like, you're trying to build a football team, and getting 6 of my top 100 doesn't take into account positional value. It doesn't take into account team needs, future contracts, scheme fit. It doesn't – none of that, right? And so to your point, Danny, I think sometimes people do look at that of like, we got two guys that are supposed to go in the top 10. This is an A-plus draft. That's not always the case. I do think for Minnesota it was a good draft just because they didn't have to give up 23 to go get McCarthy. They were able to stay and use 23 to get to 17 to get Dallas Turner, who I had Dallas Turner as my top defensive player in the class. I think he was my number 8 overall player. I was a really big fan of his. And I wasn't as high on McCarthy, but I think Minnesota's offensive infrastructure is so good that you could have drafted any quarterback, and I would like that.
Matt, the Bears' most glaring need is an edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat. They're at 75 right now. If they don't move up, is there an edge rusher who might be there? Adisa Isaac, Penn State, Austin Booker, Kansas, anybody like that?
I think the first name that came to mind was Adisa Isaac. I think he'll come off the board a little bit earlier than that. Chris Braswell from Alabama, something I would be really interested in just because I think his power contrasts really well with Sweat speed. Austin Booker is a little bit of a project. If you watch him play against Texas, there are a couple players where you're like, oh, man, that guy's going to be special. The rest of the year, he might not do anything, though. So he's more of a developmental guy. I don't know that the Bears are in a spot to draft in the third round a developmental pass rusher necessarily. Mm-hmm. But he would certainly be intriguing. Javon Solomon from Troy would be kind of interesting as well as another guy who's, you know, has some traits, a little bit juiced up. Braden McGregor from Michigan, probably in the 4th round with 122, I think he would come into play. But there's good value at edge rusher. And I would say, and like Poles knows this, at edge rusher in the 4th round, draft traits. Just like find a guy that, you know, ran a 4.5 and has 34-inch arms and try to coach them up. That's what you're trying to do at that point of the draft.
You know Poles a bit, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be good at this.
Yeah, I saw him at the Michigan Pro Day, and I wasn't going to bother him, but he came up to me and says, like, oh, well, you messed up. We're going to talk now. And, you know, the first question I said, hey, how's Caleb? And he just started laughing. He was like, Caleb's great. We love Caleb's awesome. And I was like, tell me something that, like, isn't out there about him. And he was like, all the kid cares about is football. He just wants to win. Like, all this other stuff is not him. He just cares about football. And so, yeah, Poles is great. You know, the Kansas City connection, we've known each other for quite some time. He's a really, really good evaluator.
He's good at drafting centers, right? He's good at looking at centers, but haven't had a good one here really since Olin Kreutz. Yeah. Cedric Van Pran going to be there at 75 to consider. Tanner Bartolini from Wisconsin. Center?
No, it's a really good center class. Tanner Bartolini, fastest 3-cone time ever for a center prospect. 3-cone is a really good indicator of interior offensive line success. Jason Kelsey had the fastest 3-cone time for a center before Tanner Bartolini. So that's definitely an indicator that you can look at. It's a really good Hunter Norzad from Penn State is another really agile center. So it is certainly like fourth round, pretty deep at center. I talked to an offensive line coach in the NFL. He thought there were 10 starting centers in this class. So it's one of those years where you might not even have to go to the third round. You might be able to get like Charles Turner. And I know you guys have day 3 picks right now. But like a Charles Turner from LSU in the 5th or 6th round has starter level traits.
Is there a – because, yeah, I think it's
– Or Drake Nugent from Michigan. That's who I would want for you guys, Drake Nugent from Michigan.
Drake Nugent from Michigan. Tell us about him.
No, I mean, you know, to be the pivot guy in on that Michigan offensive line says a lot about your intellect, your toughness, how much they ran the ball, and they were never, like, in the wrong checks ever. So I think mentally he can handle stepping in right away. But the movement is really good. Like, he's a high-level athlete. So – but, again, he's probably going to be a fifth-round pick, so you could, you know, take him in the fourth if they feel like – we need to get a center in this class, to your point. You know, I think he's a starter and maybe even as a rookie.
Okay, because Spieg said edge rusher, and I think on paper it is the biggest need, but they have just said they need another pass rusher. Is there a three-technique interior defensive line? Because if they're good, they go early, but is there
yeah,
some value
but, you know,
left?
Only one went last night, Byron
right.
Murphy.
Yeah, the kid from Seattle. Illinois is still available.
Right,
Johnny Newton's still available. Now?
Braden Fisk, there's some injury stuff there. He's a little bit older of a prospect, so he could – I don't think he's getting out of the second round, but, you know, he's – in the third round, I think they're – the third round, you're starting to either take a character risk or an injury risk is probably the thing. But a guy like Mason Smith from LSU, Danny, you would walk into a room with him and say, that looks like Chris Jones, because they're built identically. Mm. And there are flashes. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school, but he tore his ACL the first game of 2022, celebrating, tore his ACL, missed the season. 2023, there were moments where you were like, damn, that dude is nice. Like, he's going to be a first-round pick. But he just – you could tell he wasn't completely healthy. He wasn't all the way back. But, like, next year, he'll be 2 years from the ACL. You feel really good 2 years after ACL for these guys. Like, he could be an absolute steal in the third round.
That feels like a Poles guy.
Yeah, it could.
If it's a Chris Jones.
Yeah,
comp.
And it's LSU. And one thing about Poles is, like, he's going to go big schools. He's going to go, like, guys who have been coached well. They've been developed. They've been productive. You know, and I think that's, like, that's a Brett Veach thing, too. Of, like, we're going to go with, like, proven players, especially in the first round. Like, let's not get cute. Let's draft guys that we know can ball.
All right, man. This is very exciting. I can't wait to watch you. You're going to say Guwagi on TV.
Yes, you're going to text me and remind me.
When do you want the text? Do you want it while you're on TV?
Yeah, maybe, or, like, 12:15.
So after the broadcast is
or,
started.
Or, you know, if ever – I will have Twitter up to check during commercials because, number one, I want people to tell me if I have something in my teeth or anything. You know,
okay.
Or, like, if I say something stupid,
yeah,
let me know. So, like, folks, just, like, start tweeting me tomorrow, like, 12:15.
Just start tweeting Guwagi.
Oh, my God.
Guwagi.
Yeah. Parkins and Spiegel mob, Guwagi mob,
yeah.
Which even predates Parkins and Spiegel because it goes all the way back to Jay Cutler saying, you know, Devin Hester, he's not really a go-up-and-get-it guy. And I was like, oh, that's a kind way of saying that because Devin never was. And we need some. And
where
we
are the
seem
sponsorship
to
opportunities if Shane and I got a Guwagi tattoo?
Oh,
where
dude,
are we at on this?
That's a good question.
You know?
Shane already has some pretty questionable tattoos.
As do I. I have the bar I met my wife at tattooed on my
well, that's
bicep,
not questionable.
So,
that's special.
It was named Guwagi?
Weird. I'm going to open a bar and call it Guwagi.
Would you get a Guwagi tattoo?
Yeah. I have no problem.
Oh, my God.
How does
– I have a lot of tattoos,
this is
so
one
it's fine.
No, this is one of the greater moments of my life.
Where do you need it, though? Where do you want the tat? My arms are kind of covered.
Forehead?
No, I
can't be – no neck.
Yeah, no TV.
And no hands.
Under the left arm as you're raising up to high point a ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, because go up and get it.
Yeah, you're going up and getting it.
Ribcage tattoo?
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm in good enough shape for a ribcage tattoo. That's the only question.
As long as Roma Dunze is, that's
right?
All I care about.
Wow. Okay.
It's a big moment.
This
man.
Is big, man.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We've done a lot for this movement. We've talked to Bears tight ends about it. We talked to the guy who did the grades for Madden to try to get it added to the game.
I'll tell you
what.
Oh,
that would have been great.
I once brought it up to Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus on the air. He shot me down. I hate that guy.
Tall people, man.
they don't even have to go up and get it.
They just
get it.
You talk to the wrong guy at PFF. You need to find someone who's like 5'6".
Sam Munson.
Should ask Munson.
Yeah, ask the Scottish guy.
That's on me.
That was a joke. Call him Scottish, he gets pissed off. So it's great.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Matt, we're thrilled for your success, man, and thank you for making so much time for us.
Yeah, you know, I just went up and got it in my career. So
you sure do. He is at NFL Draft Scout on Twitter.
I might cry.
You will see him on the NFL draft coverage tomorrow night, and he will be saying Guwagi on ESPN for Matt Spiegel and the 670 The Score audience. Thank you, Matt. This was fun, man.
Yeah, of course, guys.
If you missed our conversations with Caleb and Rome, you'll hear that coming up at 5 o'clock. Also, Olin Krutz, we need to hear what he had to say about Caleb Williams and some massive names around the NFL reacting to the big day for the Bears. We got a lot more to do. Parkinson Spiegel live in Detroit on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Olin Krutz, what's your favorite fruit?
Pineapple.
You know, I'm offended, just to be honest with you. Really offended by it. Yeah. I'm going to come for you. I think you should be canceled. I'm coming for everything you built.
Yeah.
I am disgusted, Danny.
Afternoons on The Score.
Thank you to everybody who's been making this possible. We've had a ton of fun out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Detroit, talking NFL draft, being here for the NFL draft, a historic moment for the Bears. And draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams are Bears, and we're off a little early today. Coming up at 5:35, it's Cubs pregame before they begin their series in Boston. But immediately following the Cubs postgame show, Mark Grody and Hub Arkish are live with day two draft coverage right here on The Score or the Odyssey app until midnight. Draft coverage again presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Bears.
A couple quick Cubs items. Shota Imanaga against the Red Sox tonight. Pete Crow Armstrong gets another start after his first home run yesterday. Elise Menneker is in doing pre and post tonight and also Saturday. I'm doing it on Sunday. So hit and run on Sunday morning, and then I'll also be doing pre and post for Red Sox and Cubs on Sunday night here from Chicago. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Olin Krutz went deep on Caleb Williams. He was on with Mully and Haw and weighed in with the reaction to the expected number one pick.
Well, I think the thing you really like, David and Mully, is the way the ball comes out of his hands quickly, right? Because that's what translates to the NFL, is getting the ball out fast, being able to see the receiver, getting the ball out before the wide receiver is actually open, processing information. When you turn his film on, you can see that. You can see the release. There's a reason this guy, everyone is saying, like, he's the best prospect we've seen in a long time. Because when you turn his film on, you see a lot of things that you like. You see a lot of him make a lot of plays, and he's playing the style of, you know, Patrick Mahomes style, the new quarterback, the new era of quarterback who can also run and hurt you with his legs. He makes the defense defend the whole field. A guy like him slows down the pass rush because you don't want to let him outside of the pocket. You don't want to let him create plays, but he also can do the things with his accuracy, with the way he gets the ball out, with the way it looks like he reads the field. We don't know all the things he was doing in Lincoln Riley's offense as far as changing plays, checking protections, those things we have to learn about from him. But just his film, just the way he throws the ball, the way the ball comes out of his hands, his footwork in the pocket, the way he creates plays, you cannot not be excited about watching Caleb Williams play quarterback in college and know the history of the Chicago Bears and what they've had at quarterback. You cannot not be excited about watching this kid play football.
love the way our guy Olin breaks it down. And last time we talked to him, he hadn't seen that much film on Caleb. You can tell now that he has.
Yeah, I mean, the quick release is apparent. And also there's a lot of stuff out there of him like changing velocity and stuff. Like there was something that I think it was Dane Brugler. It might have been Daniel Jeremiah who had about the range of velocity on throws for Caleb was wider than any other prospect in the draft, suggesting that he can like fire it in at a bullet, so he has the top end speed.
Yeah.
But then he also has completions on lobs and just like soft, like over, like dropping it in on a bucket type of throws. It was kind of cool that he can vary up speeds like that.
Jeremiah said something, I don't know, a couple months ago that I haven't been able to stop thinking about. He said, think of Ken Griffey Jr. in a baseball swing. Caleb Williams is a natural thrower of the football.
That's fun.
Isn't that fun? I'm looking forward to watching that in great detail.
Olin Krutz on what the impact will be of Rome Odunze.
I don't have a lot of insight. I've seen him play, obviously, just because he played for my alma mater. But when you listen to him talk, when you watch his body control, the way he runs routes, his knack for getting open, for coming down with the ball, like you're talking about, his size, his willingness to learn the position, to get better, seems like he's very humble. Seems like you put him in a locker room, he can become a leader, a pro's pro for you at the wide receiver position, guys, is a rare thing. Right, a guy who teaches other NFL football players how to work, how to be football players. When you have your skill guy, if he becomes this guy, which he seems like he is when he talks, it seems very humble, very aware of where he is throughout his career, how he can learn from Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, what he has to work on, very aware that he needs to be in the building early, working on his game. When you get your skill guys to be those guys for you, man, it changes your culture. It changes your locker room. Everyone following, guys, a wide receiver on how to be a pro, how to bring toughness to the game. It's going to be very interesting to watch his career. When he started falling in the draft, a lot of people thought he was going to go earlier. I heard Brad Biggs mention that earlier also. I didn't think he was going to be there at 9.
Right.
When he started falling in the draft, and then all of a sudden they took him. And, you know, it's kind of changes it for you, right? Either the Bears – before you always watch the good teams, guys. You say, man, how'd that guy end up on the Baltimore Ravens, right? How did the Pittsburgh Steelers get that damn guy again? Well, the Chicago Bears just had that happen to them. A guy that everyone thought was a can't-miss prospect. He kept falling, and all of a sudden he ends up in the Chicago Bears building. And again, we're talking about Ryan Pose, talking about changing history. The guy everyone talked about was the can't-miss prospect, fell to the Chicago Bears.
Man, I love hearing that. And so, you know, the show that we did last night, it's a Bears-centered draft show. And obviously, I've been very clear I wanted Rome Odunze. So the whole time we're doing the draft, I'm just totally filtering my analysis through, like, is Rome Odunze going to fall, right? Like, okay, Marvin Harrison, that's the run on receivers at 4. Okay, what are the Chargers going to do? Are they going to take Neighbors? Because then it's going to start going quick. Oh, no, they take offensive line. Okay, cool. Uh-oh, no, now Neighbors are off the board at 6. I'm looking at Porth. I'm like, it better not be your Titans at 7. It better not be your Titans at 7. All right, Atlanta, they've done skill position, guys, but maybe they're going to trade. And it's just like the whole thing is prismed through that. And then it happens. It was like the square peg round hole. This was square peg square hole. Everyone in the world knew it was a perfect fit, and it actually still happened.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And there was so much that had to go the way that it went. Matt Miller tweeted about it and then talked about it a little bit with us off the air. The pick of Latham, the tackle, to the Titans, who's probably not going to play left tackle there, up that high, was a shocker. And Matt thinks that the offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, the veteran, had great influence over his son, the new head coach there in Tennessee. So that's kind of scary to think about. And then Atlanta does what they do. So two head scratchers, apparently, at 7 and 8, set the table for the Bears at 9. And I'll raise the hand, and I'm not alone, because Pat Manley was there with me. I liked the idea of them trading down, even if Rome was there on the board. But I sit here thrilled with where they are. And I knew I wasn't going to be unhappy if they got Rome, but just as it all has come together, how can you not be thrilled with the way that this has set up for the Bears?
Well, that's the thing. Like, now that it's here, and it's like Rome Odunze is on the Bears, would you really feel better if it was a offensive lineman, if they would have traded to 12 or 13?
No.
And they would have had the 55th pick in the draft, you know, tonight. Because to me, it's like, oh, man, star wide receiver.
No, it feels great.
You know, it feels great. This is better.
But, you know, if they had come out of this with Byron Murphy or Dallas Turner or Latu at 14, 15, or 16, and with that 55th pick, they took Keon Coleman to be to be a third wide receiver on a team that's going for it, I would have felt pretty good and would have been able to talk about feeling pretty good. But I don't have to, and none of us have to, and we can just live with this right now and still hope they find an edge rusher. And there still are some guys with traits here available, and we'll have to see what happens on that front.
I just think you got a quarterback who's comping himself to Rodgers and Brady. You got a receiver who's comping himself to Garrett Wilson. You have one of the top draft people in the world who's comping him to Jamar Chase. Like, the Bears drafted offensive players with star power.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And I've been talking about A.J. Brown for Odunze just because of the ability to win the contested ball, the 50-50 ball, and use his physicality, which we talked to him about. But how do you not love the Jamar Chase comp? Because Jamar Chase can do everything.
Yeah.
He's fast enough to beat you deep. He will win routes over the middle. He's got incredible footwork. He's got impeccable hands. Like, absolutely anything that you need, Jamar Chase can do. And that is what Matt Miller sees in Rome Odunze.
Yeah, and my thing for him was more Davante Adams, but all of these would be excellent outcomes. I would sign up for any of them. Last thing from Olin, no team is perfect, and Olin is going to be focusing on the line.
Yeah, you know, you look at this offensive line, and if you pose one question, it's the offensive line, right? Where does Darnell Wright end up in his second year, guys, right? Like, I know the first offseason I had was a little strange, right? You all of a sudden, you're not preparing for a draft. You don't have a place to train, so you got to go find a place to train. You got Braxton Jones, you got Nate Davis, you got Tevin Jenkins, you got Bates, the center that comes over from Buffalo. Can Tevin Jenkins stay healthy at left guard? Can Nate Davis provide some consistency at right guard? This group will be watching. Again, the offensive line, we're watching. Olu Fashanu is there. He's there for you to take as another guy. I'm an offensive line guy. We hear Jim Harbaugh talk about how he feels about offensive linemen down there in San Diego. You know, again, I always talk about this. Everybody wants all these. Everybody complains about the offensive line all year, right? All year, the offensive line come drafted and want the quarterback and the wide receiver, so they can complain about the offensive line again. So we know that we've seen this story before. Now, there's two guys the Chicago Bears just took. It's hard to argue with, right? I mean, even I'm sitting there and I want Olu. I want to trade up for Alt, right? I think Alt's a good football player. I think he's a can't miss. I want to do all those things as an offensive line guy. I probably take Olu there, right? I probably take a left tackle there, put him in my room. I probably put him in my room and get offensive line to compete. But hard to argue with Rome Odunze there for the Chicago Bears. But like you're talking about, Mully, as far as Braxton Jones goes, I know I heard you guys say earlier, I worked with him. I worked with him last year. I haven't seen him this year. I know he had his neck injury last year. I know he's improving. He's a very impressive young man. I've talked about this a lot. When he came to my gym, you tell him to do one thing and he does it correctly right after you told him to do it, right? So he is that kind of guy. I know why the Chicago Bears are impressed by him. He has to have a better year. When you talk about his neck injury, the Chicago Bears got to figure those things out for him. Because when you talk about guys stopping a bull rush on the edge, well, when you have a neck injury, it means you're stopping it with your head, right? It means that you're absorbing force in the wrong areas where you don't want to absorb force. So he has to improve those points for him. But when you talk about, again, I'll keep going back to this guy. That's an interesting comment. When you talk about Ryan Poles talking about changing the history on offense, then he has to define the history. He has to define what the problem actually was there. And the problem is developing football players. You have to find what they're bad at and help them get better at it. So that's what they have to do on their offensive line. Somebody there has to realize that the young right tackle, it's his first offseason with no school, no one helping to prepare for the draft. Make sure he's staying on track. Get Nate Davis comfortable here in Chicago so he's there every game for you. Mm. Figure out Tevin Jenkins' injuries problem and where does Ryan Bates and these guys you signed, where do they fit in to the equation? Has Jatari Carter developed that whole offensive line room? He's the one coach you kept, Chris Morgan, because you're impressed with him. But, yes, they are the question mark right now besides the quarterback developing, becoming NFL-style quarterback. The offensive line would be the point you're talking about that you would kind of question.
So, Olin Krutz, great stuff on the offensive line. I'd pay that dude at least $16 an hour.
No question.
To coach the offensive line. But centers, man, Matt Miller gave us a couple. Nugent from Michigan, and he likes Tanner Bartolini from Wisconsin. He said as many as 10 centers could be starters out of this draft class.
Yeah, he said a line coach told him that.
Yeah, so I do hope that the Bears get one. I would love to see edge rusher and center, but I'll trust Ryan Poles at this point.
We have a task for us for after the show today that will impact Monday's show that we'll tell you about, and we are going to bring you our conversation with Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze before we're out of here. A lot more to go before Cubs baseball. Parkinson Spiegel in Detroit on the score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Doing it and doing it and doing it.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, this is Smokey Robinson, and it's time to get ready. Football is one of my favorite sports. It always has been. I used to play football in high school, and I've always loved it. And I'm glad that the NFL draft is taking place this year in Detroit, which is my city. Hey, this is Smokey Robinson.
1, 2, make you wanna.
Man, if the Bears had not gotten Caleb Williams, Danny, you could have seen the tracks of my sports. But you don't. You don't anymore. So things have gone very well. And we got sunshine on a cloudy day with Roma Dunze.
Sounds like a song.
Nice job.
Sounds like a song.
See?
No problem.
Look
I'm
at
on
us.
It.
Look at us.
Hey, this is Smokey Robinson.
Happy Chinooka.
Not yet, Smokey.
It's coming.
He just learned what it is. Let him learn when it is.
So we have a task.
I have no idea what Chinooka is.
He now knows. We have a task.
Yeah.
Sensing a little fear among these 250,000 Detroiters. So we are going to, now that we're done with the draft stuff and our dinner isn't for a couple of hours and the Bears don't pick until 75,
mm-hmm.
You, Shane, and I are going to hit the streets do a little man on the street action,
yeah,
and try to interact with people from Detroit. And we record it and say, we have to work into the conversation, are you afraid of the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see who gets the best content.
So let me ask you
it
this.
It could be antagonistic. It could be funny.
Sure.
Whatever
I
your
love
style.
It. I love it. Are you afraid of the Bears? These are football conversations you're
they
wanting
be,
to have.
Or just work in the phrase, are you afraid of –
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, are you afraid of Bears?
Like when you go to the zoo
yeah.
And you're hanging around.
That's an option.
Yeah. Are you afraid of the Bears? Oh, I'm terrified of the Bears.
Yeah,
they always scare me and my children.
However you want to handle it.
Cut it, print it,
yeah, but,
play it.
Or hardcore football fans and then talk Caleb and then taunt the Lions. It's, and do you really believe in
ways.
Jared Goff, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So Shane will be doing it. You'll be doing it. I'll be doing it. And we'll see who gets the best stuff for Monday's show.
I want you for a moment, random person, to put yourself in the mindset of Goldilocks. Are you afraid of the Bears?
Yeah.
You get a yes out of that. That counts.
Of course. What? Yeah, and then Tanny can be the judge on who get the best content.
I got to tell you, I love
especially
it.
Especially because he'll
it.
Probably be editing it.
I got to tell you, I loved talking to our Odyssey colleague, the absolute Bigfoot of Detroit sports radio, Mike Valenti, yesterday. Because before the draft, he said, you know who I'm afraid of you guys getting? Is Roma Dunze. I don't want you guys to get Roma Dunze. And then we did. And he's like, see, I told you, and now I'm afraid of the Bears.
That's what I'm saying.
So Valenti's afraid of the Bears, and I bet he's not alone in this city.
I think we're going to find a lot of fear out there in these streets.
How was my Valenti? That was my first one ever. No? No. Damn it!
Yeah, Shane says bad.
Whatever, Shane. Go get hugged by a random mob member as you don't get into the draft.
I wasn't there for this conversation with Valenti. I would have loved to have chatted with him, but I think I was doing one of 17 broadcasts.
You were. You did like 90 minutes with Colin Cowherd last night, who didn't realize you were here for the draft.
I don't know. I talked to his producers about it. He was just like, yeah, have him come on our draft show.
Yeah.
He's like, Danny, you got to go back and be with your family. It's late where you are. I'm like, Colin, I left my family to go to Detroit. It's even later where I am here. He's like, oh, you're not with your family? He's like, well, then stay on for some more picks. I'm like, all right. So, yeah, I did like 50 minutes with him last night.
We're your family now. We are your family now, Parco.
That's fine. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Speaks, Shane, Shotgun Porth. That's what we call him.
Dude, did you see his room at the Airbnb with the skylight and the jacuzzi tub and the king-size bed?
It's nice.
It is nice.
It's nice. He didn't even offer it up to us.
My room, though, did have a big stuffed bear in it that I snuggled with all night long.
This is a true story that I haven't shared with any of you guys. So I get into bed last night.
Yeah.
Pull back the covers.
You got a bear? You got a bear?
No bear. A tissue.
Ooh. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Like... new folded tissue?
No.
Oh.
No. Tissue residue.
Oh.
In the bed.
What kind of residue?
Did
it have a color? Did it have an odor?
I didn't inspect it.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm sorry. If it was my guy, the stuffed bear, that did it, then we really have a story. But I don't know who did it.
I'm just saying.
That's too bad.
I know.
The campus housing where we're staying.
Yeah, it's exactly. It does look like an off-campus apartment.
It really
the 80s.
Does. It really does.
Oh, but it's perfect because the Bears got Caleb Williams. Coming up next, you will hear. The moment of the day from their press conference at Halas Hall. Then you'll hear Caleb Williams' advice to me on what I should do with my 13 Williams jersey in our conversation with him, and Roma Dunze be absolutely floored in a moment that the internet is truly loving.
Yes. By the way, Ryan Porth, you should have cleaned up that tissue from Danny's bed. Carry on.
Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.